Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, the home of the Red Sox, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Now, this is not great. The manager, Alex Cora, is coming out, and Sale is walking off the back slope of the mound. And all you can do is hold your breath and hope that this is more of the side effects of illness. Trying to read Alex's lips. Chris is covering his mouth with his glove, and he's going to stay in. Pitch. Slider inside, ball four. I think Alex Cora is thinking about taking Sale out of the game. He's on the top step of the dugout, and here he comes.
He didn't like something he saw in that delivery.
And now finally Sale relents, and he's going to come off.
He's holding the glove up by his mouth. I'm sure it's an emotional moment for him to come off like this with all the work he's done to come back. I think he's very emotional.
He looks at, well, now you just hold your breath.
That's how it sounded last night. Chris Sale exiting the game after 3 2/3 innings. We now find out that was a Red Sox win, by the way. They beat the Cincinnati Reds. They avoid the sweep. But Chris Sale, the loss there could be very, very costly for them. He'd been pitching very well. It's Christian Arcand, Megan Ottolini, final hour here with Arcand and Mego. And before we say anything else, I want to let everybody know that we're coming to you live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. This is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. They're celebrating Truck Month featuring F-Series, America's best-selling truck for 46 years. Get great deals on trucks in stock and ready for immediate delivery. We're also joined by our good friend Rob Bradford. Hey, what's up, Brad?
Listen, I think this is my maiden voyage with you guys.
I think
yes,
it is.
And Jones is in here.
I know. I'll admit,
coincidence?
I just go where I'm asked, you know? And coincidence that I wasn't asked when he's here? I don't know. But all I can say is this. When I heard that soundbite from Will Fleming, when he said, now we can do is hold our breath. All I can think about, that's exactly what he said when we were waiting to get seated in Scottsdale with all the bachelorette parties around.
This is not great.
Hey, that's exactly also what he said.
Now you just hold your breath.
When we got stuck in the very back because they did not want to put us in the front as the representative of the establishment.
Is that also what you say when you get in the elevator and the only other person is Chris Cotillo?
Oh, my goodness. Like, no. Yeah, that goes without saying.
Now we hold our breath.
I just turned the other way. So why are you
more
facing
more from Will at the bachelorette party.
The hips are swiveling back and forth, making small circular motions.
Oh, I tell you what, believe me, but once we were seated, that was also said. No question about it.
Very good.
Scottsdale is a wild place.
Right, I've never
been. His pleasure.
After Nashville, it's like the bachelorette capital of the world.
Are there clubs there? Like, what is there to do?
I don't
there?
Know, but what?
Air Christian, conditioning?
I thought it was hippy dippy.
A lot of young money. Yeah. Like Christian said, it's absolutely true. It's like a tidal wave of bachelorette parties, which, you know, Alex Speer, Will Fleming, myself, Steve DeSilva, and
watch out, ladies.
And Jemai Webster, we fit right in.
And it's on one. We got a streaker.
You guys were the wolf pack out on the prowl?
No lie. I said this the other day on Greg Hill Show. I said, they absolutely put us by the kitchen after we requested the porch seating, which nobody was at. Mm. So, yeah. Oh, well.
Better than by the bathroom.
Well, I think it was also by the bathroom.
Oh, well, there you go.
I think it was the combo.
Is Chris Sale?
I
don't want to get to this. I have to ask. I mean, we found out now he's going on the IL. Probably he's going to miss his next start. Is his
you
season
sound
over?
Down. You look down.
Is the Red Sox season over?
You look down.
If this happens. I'm down.
I saw Arcand like
sad.
Basically skip out of the park the other day. He was so happy.
Right.
Glorious game of baseball. I come in here. I try to cheer him up. I give him a baseballs and boring T-shirt.
I appreciate that, by the way.
Well, of course, because it's free, and it may or may not fit. I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah. But the thing that was a little bit alarming was that he was sore today. So I think there's no way around. Probably he goes on the injured list. And he had a shoulder thing going back to 2018 because you're doing the checklist when he gets hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, playing operation. Yeah.
You took the words out of my.
We already made this joke today, Bradfo.
I know you did. All right. But anyway, so you're checking off all the boxes, and the shoulder comes up in 2018, and you do. I know that everyone's immediately going to say, well, Chris Sale, you know, like, well, is what a disaster of a contract and everything else. Well, there's multiple ways to look at it. I do feel for the guy. I see the guy, like, how much he cares and how much he works, and then get to the point where you actually, and we said it, like, this is the ace of the staff.
Right.
And then you have the element of the team. This is the ace of the staff. This is what you need. This is the exact element of the team which you were hoping for when the season began that you could define, and finally you defined it, and now it's undefined.
And he's been a stopper for you lately, too.
He's been an ace.
Yeah.
Like, it's so you go to the Arizona, they lose four in a row, he deals, and they win. You go to last night, they lose three in a row, and guess what? He kept them in that game.
Mm-hmm.
He did the same thing in A-Stuff.
Keeping you over 500.
He is. And so now you're going to find this whole team is about certainty. Like, find the certainty. You have to start finding the certainty. And I guess you didn't find the certainty with Chris Sale, but up until...
Well, you found a certain kind of certainty.
You did. Like, true, yeah. You found uncertainty.
You found uncertainty. The thing that comes around almost every year now.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying. I mean, it's and that's... I guess what you just have, that's your lot in life. You cannot say that Chris Sale is going to be your ace for the next 3 years if he pitches well, because this keeps coming up. It's science, right? It's science.
It's to be expected.
It's to be expected. So you got to find, and this comes back to team building, where you have a lot of maybes and a lot of potential, but at some point, sometimes you have to pay for the as close to the certainty as you can get. There's no such thing. We all know this in sports, in life. There's no such thing as absolutes. But in baseball, usually if you pay for something, pay a lot for something, you have a pretty good idea what you're going to get, Nathan Eovaldi. And so, yeah, so along those lines. And I know that Bogaerts is having a down year, but he was another example that you knew what he was. And so I think that they've gone away from prioritizing the certainty, although they did it in the bullpen, but they've gone away from that, and they're hoping Garrett Whitlock, Brian Baio, James Paxton, Chris Sale, all these other guys become the guys.
Do you think it's unusual that we haven't gotten more information on the MRI yet?
No, because it's like terrible with injuries. I hate it. No, I hate it.
No, what do you mean it's terrible?
No, I hate it. I think they downplay stuff. I mean, I know every organization does this.
So they have the result. They're lying when they say they don't have the result.
Well, how do you not have the result?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know how long it takes to get an MRI.
Yeah, I want to clarify with you, because as I remember getting an MRI, I got the results pretty quickly, but I would think.
That.
And I would only imagine that a Red Sox ace would get his MRI results much faster than
I did. It's not like when I was in the Salem Hospital waiting room about a month ago.
Exactly.
No, it was, but I think that if I had to guess, that they do have the results, but maybe they want to cross. You know how this works.
They get a second opinion because they don't like the first opinion because it's bad.
Maybe his agent asked for it. Maybe he asked for it. Maybe they asked for it. I don't know.
Yeah, but why are they asking for it? They're asking for it because they don't like what they see.
Yeah, I think that usually that's the case, because if it's good, let's go get him.
And you're skipping back home.
Let's go get him. Exactly. So, yeah, that would be the likely scenario. But to answer your questions, I would suggest that they probably have found a way to take an MRI. The one part about MRIs, I don't understand why they don't do them more often.
What do you mean?
Because you see a lot of injuries, and you say, are they getting an MRI? Like, they're no. We're going to just give it treatment or have an X-ray. You have money. You have a health plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part of it I never – obviously, in this case, it's no questions asked. You have the MRI. But I've gone through this so many times where, you're not taking an MRI? Why? Why not?
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is that do they do that in football, basketball?
I think basketball.
There's a lot of MRIs.
They do everything.
They throw around MRIs like candy.
Yeah, the amount of time you see somebody leaving in a walking boot, and then the next day that you say, major injury, you know, that they narrowly missed. I mean, the story with Kevin Durant in this is like almost every other season at this point.
Yeah. Guy's
dripping in MRIs.
The curious...
Gross.
Wait, he is. Hanging off him.
I hope they wash it after he's done this.
The curious case of MRIs. I like that.
So let's say Sale's out for an extended period. What happens next?
Well, this is why you have eight starting pitchers.
Right.
I mean, you have Nick Pivetta, you have Corey Kluber just sitting there. And Pivetta obviously served a purpose, but Corey Kluber has served zero purpose out in the bullpen.
Could he get Madison Bumgarner?
What do you mean?
I mean,
that's a very complicated question.
Well, could they move on from him, I guess?
They could, but this isn't what they do. They do this for this exact reason. And if Chris Sale does not get hurt, or if everyone's healthy, then it becomes, what are you doing holding on to this guy in the bullpen who's not doing anything?
Right.
But they're right again. You know, that somebody got hurt, and he'll probably jump in, and he is, it wasn't too long before he was a starting pitcher. You don't have to rely on a guy who's not ready in AAA. Boom, boom, boom. It all works itself out.
So you think it'll be him over Pivetta?
I don't know that, but Pivetta pitched pretty well. And I think that
I go Pivetta.
Here's the thing. I think Pivetta serves a purpose in the bullpen. I think Corey Kluber doesn't serve a purpose in the bullpen.
How so?
Because he doesn't
sucks.
Yeah, well, I mean, he doesn't do any. Like, he first of all, he hasn't done this since 2013. Second of all, he doesn't have the stuff that plays up like Pivetta in these short stints, and it just doesn't feel like there's a spot other than you're down by eight runs or you're up by eight runs and you need some innings. That's the guy. You saw Nick Pivetta last night. All right, I'll put him in a key spot. He looked good. That's fine. You can't say that about Corey Kluber right now.
Well, that's a weird reason to start him then, isn't it?
It is. But if you're talking about what the guy is potentially serviceable at, which put that on the bumper sticker, then I would say more of a starter than a reliever.
2023 Red Sox, potentially serviceable.
I have a lot of slogans for the 2023 Red Sox. The colon maybe? Question mark is one of my favorites. So there you go.
Outside of the pitching staff, what do you sort of make of this last month here? Because I saw a lot of things that I didn't love. I saw, you know, Rafael, I know he was good last night, but Devers' power really kind of powered down. The offense had a bunch of slumps. The bullpen, I thought, looked kind of rough in May. What did you like about this last month, if anything?
Arizona weather was awesome.
That was nice.
It was awesome. And I don't know if you know that Scottsdale restaurant we went to, it was great. But it was, I think that it's a weird thing because you've landed at this spot where the Bruins and Celtics are done and you hoped that you would have defined yourself, but you kind of haven't. And I can make positive references about this team. Go down the list. But also, I just mentioned all these uncertainties that they have, which you would hope that settled themselves. And by the way, you're looking up at the standings for the third wild card. These teams that are four games in front of you, and they're really good.
Yeah.
And they're really, and in front of you before those teams, Seattle, Anaheim. So you, and another team, I forget, but you have these teams in front of you. So every time you have a game like last night, you're like, oh, I can see how this can work. Well, super. You better figure out how it can work a whole lot more than it has. You got to get on that one of those eight game winning streaks.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. I mean, but to answer your question, I just think that, and I'll get your guys' perspective because I know that, you know, everybody's in the Bruins. Rightfully so, because they're a historic team. Then everybody's in the Celtics.
I have some news for you, Bradfoe.
Oh, what's that? Celtics lost.
team didn't do so hot.
Yeah, but you were following. You had,
that's true. Everyone
was to
in
talk about. Like,
doesn't that seem like a long time ago now? By the way, the Bruins.
Put it this way.
Seems like it was
6 months ago.
Put it this way. I was absolutely dominant on the broadcast with Will Fleming in Arizona. I'm not convinced that anybody heard it because the Celtics were going on. Maybe.
I was listening.
Thank you.
And you weren't that good.
I will say this. It was a wild scene after the game.
When you went back to Scottsdale?
No. Yeah, I was the same. But we celebrated.
It was a wild scene with all the Scottsdale.
No, but we didn't. It was outside Chase Field.
Rob.
It was.
You're blushing.
Well, I mean, what in Rome? But the celebratory nature of that game six, when game six happened in Arizona, around that area, you could hear like this was a huge, huge thing. I don't know if you know that. That was a big game.
It was a big game.
But my point is that you've cleared yourself from these and now you've landed here and you hope you're not having to rely on student nines. you know, all the time.
Yeah.
That's the
or
danger.
Or bark in the park.
Or bark in the park.
Bark in
yeah.
the park. Or the bobblehead. Yeah, yeah. So
the sellout streak count was bark in the park.
Yeah. I think that's come and gone a long time
I think
ago.
It probably has.
Rob Bradford right is here. You want to stick around zone. For another? Yeah, of course.
All right. Bradford's going to stick around. We'll get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Get in line for Bradford. If you got Celtics thoughts, we'll get to those as well. Here's Ryan Garvin with trending.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I wanted to talk about the two goalies. I don't think it matters who comes first.
Trust me,
yes.
It matters.
Jones and Mego. It matters.
We'll always look at how do we best, evaluate our roster and make the small tweaks that maybe can put you over the top. You know, obviously, you know, we're in an interesting situation because I think, you know, again, we're 48 minutes away from doing our pregame shoot-around press conference today, right? Like, in the finals. So there was a lot that went right, and we can't lose sight of that. But we also, are always going to be thinking about how to best move it forward and, pursue what we're all trying to pursue.
Brad Stevens from yesterday? Is that yesterday or 2 days ago now?
Yesterday.
That was yesterday. Why do I always do that? I always think things are 2 days old when they were from yesterday. And that was the most, I think, odious thing that he said. That's the thing I had the biggest problem with. We were 48 minutes away from game one. We're going to make small tweaks. I didn't want to hear any of that. I didn't
want to
hear any
what do you
of
want
those
to
words
do?
At all. I wanted Tim to acknowledge the fact that this was a failure of a season. And not talk about how great everything is just making it to the conference finals, which they're 1-4 in, by the way. Jaylen Brown, 1-4 in the conference finals. It's not a good record. And I thought that all in all, the tone and tenor from Brad Stevens was one of not really any urgency, not really any kind of rush to change anything. And when he talks about small tweaks and how, we're just happy to be this close, I don't like that. I don't like that coming from the guy who had this team in the finals last year and now took a step back.
I don't have a problem with the small tweaks part.
I do.
I have a problem, though, with the tone. You hit it on the head with the lack of urgency. Because I want to hear that you did come up short. And the 48 minutes short of being back in the finals really irked me because it reminded me so much.
They were 48 minutes away.
Right. It reminded me so much, of the Joe Mazzulla answer that he gave to Gary Washburn after game three.
Right.
When they had that horrible, horrible performance. And he's sitting there going, well, we won three of the four quarters. And Gary's like, yeah, but the third quarter, you were awful. And he's like, but it's
like
one
45
quarter.
To 13 or something.
No.
Like, yeah.
So they let an opponent put up a record setting number of points against a Celtics team in the playoffs. And he's sitting there going three out of four quarters where we won. We were good. And it's like this missing the point of these lapses where it really, really counts. And also talking about when we have our backs up against the wall. Yes. They did perform well when they had their backs up against the wall several times in the season, but also their backs shouldn't have even been up against the wall at that point.
They were perpetually up against
the
wall.
With the quality of the talent that they were playing against.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
I don't, you guys care what I have to say?
Of course.
I didn't know. Because I had more stories from Scottsdale if you want, no?
Oh, well, we'll do that.
After the Brad Stevens thing.
All right, I will say this. I don't really care what he says. I don't care about his tone. I care more about the Mazzulla stuff because I think that just shows you his inexperience as being a head coach that you can't give that message. That's a bad message to send from your team to your team, everything else. And I think that and you're absolutely right, Megan, the fact that they shouldn't have had their backs against the wall as much as they did. They should be in the finals. They shouldn't have had to go to two game sevens. But that was the coaching. That was the coaching. And I'm sorry, and maybe he's better coach next year than he was this year, but for whatever reason, I've heard you guys talk a lot about this, about shooting the threes and change of philosophies and everything else. We knew that there was going to be a good chance when you get to the Miami series that this guy was going to be outcoached by Eric Spoelstra. You know how I know? Because Brad Stevens was outcoached by Eric Spoelstra.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Dramatically. So you knew that, there was a good chance of that happening. And sure enough, there it was. So when it comes to Brad Stevens, what he says, I think that Brad Stevens has actually done a pretty good job as a GM. And when I also don't have a problem with him saying tweaks, because you know what, to me, a small tweak is, it's getting the one player that you need. And they can do that, and they can be good again.
You think this team's one
yes.
fringe rotation player away from winning a championship?
No, not fringe. Did I say
that's when I say small players? Tweak. That's what I think
a, of. A bigger,
like losing
a
big, Marcus Smart's not a small tweak.
A bigger version. If you got – so obviously Malcolm Brogdon was a good addition to this team, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right? So a bigger version of Malcolm Brogdon. A guy –
a starter.
Or a first guy off the bench. And Malcolm Brogdon wasn't necessarily a starter. He could have been a first guy off the bench, too.
Well, he was. He was the best one in the league.
Do you mean a bigger version as in an actual big?
Yeah.
Because I think that they've been putting off that move for 2 years now.
Right. So either a big or who was I heard Gary Washburn talking about getting a playmaker, a point guard, which I think that's like the idea of that is good. But I don't think the reality of that.
I also think the idea of that is starting to look a little outdated.
That's what I mean. It's not like Tiny Archibald. I'm really dating myself. Of like, driving the lane and dishing it off to Kevin McHale. This isn't happening anymore. This is Mark. When people say Marcus Smart is a point guard, he's far from a point guard. But you know what? It's not like he's dribbling up the court, calling up the Jimmy Chitwood fist play. You know, it's like this isn't how it works anymore.
Right.
So, but if you're talking about distributing the ball, okay. But I would rather go for a big guy, a guy that you don't have to rely on three-pointers. So to come back to my how I felt about what Brad Stevens said, that's who he is. Like, that's his tone. And I prefer to go by his actions. And his actions last year weren't bad. We can agree on that?
Yeah, except for one big one.
Okay.
Joe Mazzulla in the extension, yeah, I think, was a bad action.
Here's where the actions, I think, are manifested. Because I agree with you. I do think Brad Stevens, we've been praising him on our show for the moves he's made.
Except Mike Muscala. I didn't like that one. But I liked every other move.
Looks pointless now. Yeah. President of Basketball Operations. But he's also, you know, he's the mentor to Joe Mazzulla. Yeah. Joe Mazzulla is his protege. So when I say I'm concerned about this tone being pervasive throughout the Celtics, be at the front office, the 60 people in basketball operations, or the coach in the locker room, I'm going, this is not the right type of style of tone for this group of players.
I heard you talk about that, the 60 people in the organization. And not in the organization, sorry. I retract.
In operation.
In basketball operations. Mm-hmm. And it immediately made me think of the team that's here right now, the Red Sox, which has over 30. And I'm sure there's a reason for all of them. But at the end of the day, like Chaim Bluma sat down with me yesterday for a podcast, and he said, like, sometimes it's just very, very simple. And he's right. And it's
– and you still have 30 voices all telling you.
It's paralysis by overanalysis. Yeah. And I see this in basketball so much about the three-pointer thing. Oh, well, we can show you the metrics. Well, I can also show you – you know what? They're playing a zone against you. They're extending the zone. Yeah, you're bringing the guy to the middle, but the guy you're bringing in the middle doesn't want to shoot the 10-foot jump shot that you're giving him. Like, so there you go. And I agree with you, Megan, that Brad Stevens, the absolute biggest problem with what he has done is how he has handled the coaching situation with Joe Mazzulla. I absolutely, because I know that he had a soft spot in those Ainge comments to Shaughnessy.
Oh, my God. Like don't get me started.
Like, yeah, well, about the
were wild comments.
Yeah, about the everybody in the NBA.
Yeah, you noticed Shaughnessy just wrote those quotes straight?
Well, what?
Because it's a classic case of let the quotes speak for themselves.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
I would basically put the quote in and let it run.
That's what he did.
Here's what Danny Ainge.
That's what he wrote.
I know. It's so why not? I mean, it speaks.
Yeah, but you know what that means. I don't even need to comment on this. Let these quotes speak for themselves.
Well, what is it? Again, what is it? You're right.
He's a columnist.
Right. He's
an opinion writer.
Thank you, Danny Ainge. You are the second best columnist in town. So there you go. But anyway, so I think you're right. That the Joe Mazzulla thing, was the biggest problem when it came to Brad Stevens' decision-making process. But I don't think we can lose sight about in the NBA, usually it comes down to, do you have the players or not? Because if you don't have some of these players, then you're not even sniffing the Eastern Conference, even if you have the best coach in the world.
Yeah, well, I think these players are really just good for sniffing it. That's about it. Let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937. That's your phone number. Matt's in the car with a thought on Jimmy Butler. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. Matt. A long-time caller, first-time listener. And okay. I just want to say that I think Jimmy Butler is really overrated. He's getting a lot of media coverage right now. I think that the Heat role players that stepped up were the reason that they won against us, the Celtics, and against the Knicks, too. So I just think he's getting a lot of unwarranted praise right now. Not a fan of this guy. I think Tatum outplayed him in the Celtics series, and yet Tatum's getting a lot of flack for how he played. So, yeah, those are my thoughts.
All right, thanks for the call, Matt. In statistically, I don't know if you can make the argument statistically that Tatum outplayed him. I don't think you can. But you can say that the Celtics didn't lose to Jimmy Butler, just Jimmy Butler in that series, because he didn't have a great series. He had one really good game, game one. Other than that, he was an inefficient scorer. He took a ton of shots. He missed a lot of them. He was good on defense, and he did other things. But in terms of scoring, you got beat by Caleb Martin. You got beat by Gabe Vincent.
You got beat by your own turnovers.
Duncan Robinson and your own stupid, idiotic dribbling and dribbling, head barreling into that zone with your head down and then throwing the ball away. That's how you got beat. You didn't just get beat by Jimmy
and
Butler.
Horrible shot selection.
And to add another one, the guy who just came up from the pickup basketball game at the Y, Kyle Lowry.
Right.
You know, I mean, like he just out of nowhere, I think I'm going to nail like these three pointers just for the dagger. But we had a laundry list of why they got beat. And that leads you to who I'd rather have in that game. I'd rather have Jason Tatum than Jimmy Butler in that game, because we saw what Jason Tatum did in game 7 before. And Jimmy Butler's a good player, but Jason Tatum is an elite player who can take over a game, but not with 1.5 ankles.
Does Jason Tatum still have a bad ankle?
Yeah.
Then I'll take Jimmy Butler. Jason Tatum is hobbling.
Also,
like,
Butler took over some games too. In the Milwaukee series, he scored 100 points.
I would take healthy Jimmy Butler in a game 7 with the rest of the Celtics.
I would do that too.
Over Jason Tatum hobbled by.
I believe that is a FanDuel prop bet. Okay. Going back to October, is Jason Tatum with 1.5 ankles better than 2 ankle Jimmy Butler?
We know the answer.
I don't have any betting partners, so I can't comment.
All right. Okay.
All right. Frank is in Walpole. Hi, Frank.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Frank.
A lot of my buddies here have been saying that we should fire Joe Mazzulla just after 1 year, and I think that takes a joke. I think, you know, this guy, obviously we're not happy with the conference finals. Nobody is. That's not what this city is. But I think you got to give him another year, and you got to give him some time, surround him with a staff that is his.
Frank, what did you like about Joe Mazzulla? If you don't want to fire him, what did you like about what Joe Mazzulla did this year? Just tell me, like, the positive things he did that you liked.
I think Joe Mazzulla is a good locker room guy, in my opinion. I think Joe Mazzulla has that locker room's respect, especially a situation where you stepped up after, you know, it's 2 days before the season and you get to the role.
All right. I mean, that's true. He did have to do that. But did it feel like he had the locker room's respect when Marcus Smart said everyone rips him, and rightfully so?
One, two, three, defense!
Or when he spends the whole meeting talking about offense and shooting threes, and then Jaylen Brown goes 1, 2, 3 defense to break the huddle? Like, I don't know. I mean, that doesn't sound like a team that's brimming with respect for their coach. And maybe that's something you have to earn over time. It's his first year. He's close to there. He's younger than Al Horford. So, I mean, like, you know, maybe there was a little bit of that going on, too. But he had that locker room going, really, when they went down 0-3. I guess they won 3 games after that, but I don't know. They didn't seem ready to go in Game 7. They didn't seem ready to go in a lot of games. They lost 6 home games in the playoffs. You telling me that's a great locker room? Come on.
Well, let me throw this out at you, because about the way that the decisions are made in terms of keeping coaches. And the NBA, I feel, in this situation, I feel they are so paranoid about how Jason Tatum, how Jaylen Brown, how Marcus Smart – perceived or like want the people they want to play for. Obviously, they wanted to play for Ime Udoka. And even before they played a game for Ime Udoka, they wanted to play for Ime Udoka.
Right.
Because the reputation they played for him in Team USA, all of that. And I think that this is what the Celtics for the last 2 years have prioritized. And the reason I bring this up is because I don't know if you know this, but there were some pretty proven coaches out there on the market, like Nick Nurse and some of these other guys.
Frank Vogel.
Okay.
Budenholzer still
Mike Budenholzer still available.
Guys that you have a pretty good idea, if they get into a series with Eric Spoelstra, as good as he is going to be able to have his own offense. Okay. So I think that they understood what they were getting into, the inexperience, and hope for the best with Mazzulla. But their priority was having the players actually wanting to play for their coach, and this is the guy they thought they wanted.
David's in the car. Hi, David.
Hi, good afternoon. So I appreciate you guys taking the call. So, I mean, I'm a Celtics fan, just like everybody else is, and I think we're so spoiled. We're so spoiled that there's so many teams in – I mean, how many teams are there in the NBA? We all know. There's so many teams out there that they just wish they had the opportunity.
Really? They want to lose in the conference finals every year, David? I hate that. I hate that logic.
No,
did every team want to be the Buffalo Bills in the 90s and losing the Super Bowl every year? I mean, come on. You get a reputation as a loser. People don't want that. Teams don't want that.
But hear me out.
All right.
I care about the other championships. I care about the NBA.
Yeah,
the
Celtics have some fun and play together.
In my entire life, there's one.
And they were
in my entire life
last year, and they were supposed to get better. And we're spoiled for wanting them to win the championship. Come on, that's ridiculous.
Here's the worst part about it. And this is, you hear this a lot, and I understand where people are coming from. But still, the reality is that you have windows. You have these opportunities. And that's why we can scream and yell and be mad about this. Because we all see this window. We all see this opportunity. And in the NBA, that doesn't last for long because of contracts, because of age, and because of everything. We see it in all sports. We thought we saw it in Tom Brady, and it just happened to last 20 years or whatever it was.
There was another window.
Right. There was plenty. But,
big window.
But guess what? That window closed, and there you go.
The Lord opened another one.
Not really. But so we, as educated sports fans, can say, look at what you have. Good for you. Good for you, Brad Stevens. You have identified that there is a window because you went out and traded Romeo Langford for Malcolm Brogdon. Good for you. That's what we want. Finally, don't hold on to these guys, these random first and second round picks, hoping they're going to be good. Go for it. And that's what he did. You have that window, and you screwed up that window because you had an inexperienced coach. Maybe he can be a good coach next year, the year after, but you are screwing up this window, or you screwed it up this year because of that.
Go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was just going to say, that's why I don't get the give him one more year, you know, let him grow into it. I'm like, sorry, it's his career development is not my priority.
Right, and the priority should be the development of Jaylen Brown. Right? And Jason Tatum. And Jason Tatum was fourth in the MVP voting. Jaylen Brown got to the end of the season and did the same stuff, missed free throws, turned the ball over, same stuff he was doing 7 years ago when he was a rookie. And I don't know. At some point you wonder, like, yeah, the coaching wasn't great, but are these guys just what they are? Are they good enough to get to the conference finals and lose, and once in a while maybe sneak?
No, they're good enough to get the finals because they proved that.
They did that once.
And it was last year. So
they've lost even, to Giannis, they lost to LeBron,
okay,
they lost
right,
to Durant,
but
they lost to
Butler. The most recent example we have of these two guys are that last year they made it to the finals, and a lot of people felt like they should have actually won the finals. I'll come back to the coaching. Like, Ime got out-coached for the second half of that finals, and that was the problem. So, and then this year, they were good enough, like it or not, they were good enough despite everything that was going on and all the dysfunction and everything else to make it to game 7 and be introduced to the finals again. So to me, those two guys are good enough to actually get to where you want to go, but you got to figure the rest out.
They were 48 minutes away, you know?
They were. 48 minutes away. I gave them that line.
Finals going up there and making their big speech.
Doing our pregame shoot-around press conference today.
Oh, that's really nice.
Those are great. Those pregame shoot around press conferences.
All right.
Our buddy
go.
Zeke does have this little bit of information. Chris Sale will be available in the interview room at 6:15.
Brad Foe, you got to run up there?
Yeah. Better run than Brad Foe. Let's take one more call here before the break. Chris is in Rochester. Chris, you get the last word.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a Celtics fan, diehard Celtics fan, and it kills me every year to watch this happen. Now, listen, we can look at Marcus Smart not being able to run a good defense. We can look at the coach and say Mazzulla's got to go. We can look at Jaylen Brown and, you know, hope to God that he's not going to make 8 turnovers a game. I think what it comes down to at the end of the day, in my eyes, is that these guys didn't want it bad enough.
It was
Miami wanted it more than then, Chris. I agree with you. We're up against.
I don't like that argument.
I think there's some truth to it.
The guile and guts argument.
Yeah.
That's how you fall down 0-3 in the first three games. Brad Foe, thanks for stopping by.
All right, good seeing you all.
Get up there, go see what Chris Sale has to say. Mego and I will go tete-a-tete in Endgame next.
Ew.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI, New England Sports Original.
Y'all want to play a f***ing game?
Game over, man. Game over.
You little punk.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Don't you think I actually have kind of a nice singing voice?
Totally. Celeste, you whore.
Yes, yeah, all the exciting things that we got you throughout the course of this show. It is time for Endgame.
Yeah.
Sad that Rob Bradford couldn't join us, but he's got to go be journalist Brad Foe. Endgame is brought to you by Cars for Kids, which is the easy way to donate your car. You can donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Of course, that is cars spelt with a K. Guys, I wrote some Endgame questions. The rules apparently have to be that they are tangentially related to the show, as Arcan always says. Are you guys ready for your first question?
I'm ready.
Okay.
We're writing, by the way. We got we got our sheets of paper.
Yeah,
we
were actually prepared for it this time. I'm excited to
hear
it.
I should let you know, Megan, that I did Endgame against Jones once. I think we had a game one day that cut the segment, and then the other day, I smoked him. Remember that, Ryan? I whooped Jones' ass.
Oh, so how could I forget? Know. One of the highlights of my radio career, if I'm being honest with you.
Mine as well. All right, go ahead. What do we got?
So this might be skewing it towards one host over the other a little bit, Arcan. Nikola Jokic, he became the second player in NBA history to record a triple-double in their finals debut. Who was the first?
Crap, I just read this.
And I'm not going to bog down with, 15 different details that would totally give away
the
answer.
I read this today.
I bet you did, because that's where I got it. Nikola Jokic,
let me think about that.
Who Arcan loves, got a triple-double last night. If you weren't aware, he does it, and he does it like the Dickens. So who was the first player?
Okay, I'm writing this. I don't think this is it, but I need a name to start, and then NBA I'm going to brainstorm off of this name. Let me think about who
is this
was
your
the
brainstorm tree?
This is my brainstorm tree.
Arcan looking quite quizzical.
I don't really like
it. I wrote something, but I'm not feeling great about it.
What was the... this is going to annoy me. This is going to bug me to no end. Because I definitely read...
I didn't read the article stat. I should have read more
about it. Did you
read
this in Shaughnessy or something?
Was I reading Shaughnessy?
ESPN?
No.
This
was on Twitter.
Article?
Never missed.
Oh, it was on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Was this skewed towards Arcan because he's Mr. Jokic lover?
Of course.
Should be, yeah. But I'm not feeling great about this.
After being tangentially related to the show, we have to ask a Jokic-related question. These are the rules of Endgame. I don't make them. I just enforce them.
I don't think
this
is right at all, but it's for some reason this name is stuck in my head.
All right.
Nikola Jokic.
I really don't like it.
Do not interrupt the question asker. Nikola Jokic became the second player in NBA history, Mego, to record a triple-double in their finals debut. Who was the first? Mego, let's start with you.
I don't think this is right. Tim Duncan?
It is not Tim Duncan. Christian Arcand?
I said Oscar Robertson.
You are both wrong. It would, in fact, be Jason Kidd. In 2002, against the Lakers, recorded 23-10-10. Which was a nice stat line, but they inevitably were swept by the championship Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, and they beat the Celtics to get there.
Yeah, they absolutely did. A lot of teams have beaten the Celtics, if you can believe it.
That's true. That's true. All right, both a couple offers there.
Offers.
I took the big O, and Megan said Duncan. It was, in fact,
Jason
Kidd. All right,
Kidd.
What else we got?
Number two, the Red Sox are beginning a series with the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. Mm-hmm. According to Baseball Reference, who are the top five in WAR? Wins over replacement in franchise history. I don't need any particular order, just 1 through 5, according to Baseball Reference.
Why are you reading this like you're on Celebrity Jeopardy?
Because I'm trying to moonlight for a job after this, guys.
Any
I'm trying
name.
To grow my brand. The Ryan Garvin brand needs to be hotter than it is right
pitcher?
Now.
Can I ask something? Does WAR include pitchers?
Yes, it does.
It does? Okay.
Wait, can you repeat the question? Sorry.
After you just insulted how I am. Fine. Okay, fine. The Red Sox begin a series with the Tampa Bay Rays tonight, Mego. According to Baseball Reference, who are the top five in WAR? That would be wins above replacement in franchise history.
If you go to the old Baseball Reference and you go to the franchise history page, right there across the top, there are 12 pictures.
I'm doing it right now.
No, you can't do that. That would be cheating. It would not be in the spirit of the game. Although Arcan, probably not the first time that she has cheated in this.
Oh, it's definitely. It's not the second
time. No, that
time
is
either.
Not fair. That Jaylen Brown answer came straight from my brain.
Okay.
Of course it did.
I don't even get credit when I'm good at this game. I only get made fun of with how bad I am at this game.
Come on, you said the right, largest squid in human history is 20,000 feet. What's not to credit?
Than the Empire State
that one's true, I think. I think maybe we were wrong on that one. All right. I got five names. You got five names, Megan?
No, I just wrote I don't know.
You didn't write any names?
No, I didn't.
You can't name five Tampa Bay Rays.
What do you want from me?
To name five Tampa Bay Rays in the history. They've only been around for like 9 years. In the history of the Tampa, good Lord, in the history of the Tampa Bay Rays, the top five players in WAR in franchise history, Mego.
Mego saying no.
Right.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, you know what? You could still tie because I may not get any right either, but I did write five names.
Okay.
I wrote Evan Longoria. Thank
you. You just said that because of that hot girlfriend conversation.
That's right. Carl Crawford.
Oh, that I should have had that one.
David Price. Scott Kazmir. And Randy Arozarena. All right, well,
not
I got three.
Bad.
What were the other ones?
Not
you
bad.
You still did better.
In this order, it would be Evan Longoria, Carl Crawford, Ben Zobrist.
Zobrist.
Right? Oh. Kevin Kiermaier, who's still playing baseball, and
Kiermaier.
David Price.
And Price, okay. All right. I wouldn't have thought Zobrist. Well, I guess Zobrist did have a bunch of good years, but I always remember him for that weird song his wife made him come up to the plate to. Remember that?
No.
His wife had this, like, Jesus rock song
no,
that she sang,
that.
And he had to come up to the plate to her singing
that's
it.
That's
yeah.
awful. Well, I guess
it
worked for
him.
Oh, I guess it didn't work for him then.
No, it didn't.
It's funny.
I may be thinking of somebody else.
It's interesting anyway. That you allude to our discussion about Evan Longoria as Arcan was trying to figure out some famous girlfriend or something like that. And he was not thinking of Tyler Glasnow. He was thinking of Cole Tucker. The third question of Endgame, Mego and Arcan, in 469 plate appearances, nice. How many home runs has Cole Tucker hit?
Oh, come on.
In 469 plate appearances?
Yes.
How many home runs?
Cole Tucker currently rotting
how
away
many,
in the...
How many seasons?
He is... Okay, that's a fair question. He has played... In four seasons. He's currently not in the majors right now. He is in the minor league program of the Colorado Rockies, but he was a four-year Pittsburgh Pirate. In this, I don't... You can just do whatever number you want. Closest, not closest without going
okay.
over.
All right, I got it.
Mainly because I feel bad for Mego for going totally
over
here.
Sorry, I was spacing out. So how many home runs did he have? So
in 469 right plate appearances, Megan Ottolini, how many home runs has Cole Tucker hit?
Across four seasons,
yes.
I'm going to guess this number.
Okay,
I'm
good.
I'm going to guess.
By the way, Juliana Zobrist, a country singer,
yes.
Christian pop, admitted to having an affair with Zobrist's former pastor.
Ooh. Ooh,
singing
that's
about the
super
Lord,
crooked.
And then sneaking around with the pastor. That's not very Jesus-like.
It's not blasphemy.
Juliana Zobrist.
Hypocritical is probably
for a top five all time in WAR for the Rays organization. Disrespecting him like that.
Well, he
tough.
Had a great career and a franchise that nobody ever goes to watch play baseball. So they pack it out with dogs.
Woo!
All right. I got a guess. Mego, you need this one. So what did you say? What's the question again,
Brian? In 469 plate appearances, how many home runs has Cole Tucker hit? Arcand?
I said 17.
Mego?
I said 18.
The number is 5 home runs, which means Christian Arcand has swept.
Ow.
Swept.
He didn't sweep. He didn't get the first one right.
Swept.
He didn't get the first
one
right.
He swept. He got all. He got them all right.
No,
every single one. Mego went
I didn't get that one right.
I don't remember that. I remember... Complete dominance.
Fully
once
right.
Arcan, good job. Complete
this
dominance.
This is fake. This is fake.
Do you hear that music? You know who's coming up next is Rich Keefe.
Rich Keefe coming up next.
Rich Keefe is coming up next.
Arcan, let's go drink.
Very excited.
He's going right into the pregame, I think. So there you go. That's all for us. We'll talk to you on Monday. Everybody, enjoy your weekends. Goodbye. Celeste, you whore.
Gresh and Fourier.
I personally feel like this receiving core is good enough to get you to the playoffs. Backs included, tight ends included, receivers included. Your skill position players collectively, I think, are good enough to get you into the playoffs.
Did you miss something? Listen to the podcast on the Odyssey app or at WEEI.com. Gresh and Fourier. Middays 10 to 2 on New England Sports Original. WEEI. WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.